South Sudan has been ranked 7th in the world for share of total country population exposed to river floods, and the situation is expected to worsen under climate change, according to the report. This report is by the World Bank's reporting Rising from the Depths, Water Security and Fragility in South Sudan. This was published on Monday. Now, the report highlights the impacts of floods and other water-related threats on South Sudan's communities and concludes that water insecurity is an existential threat to the country. So this morning, joining me now to expand on this is the Undersecretary in the Ministry of Water Resources and Irrigation, Emmanuel Ladu Pamenas. Good morning, and thank you for coming.
Good morning, Kiden. I'm grateful to be here this morning to talk about the issues you've just highlighted.
All right. We also have Nyamat Hothmai, who is a South Sudanese environmental expert. Good morning, Nyamat. You're welcome.
Good morning, Kiden. Thank you for having me here.
Okay, now, starting with you, Honorable Emmanuel Ladu, what do you make of this report? Is everything in there true? There were a lot of things that were mentioned, just aside from the security threat in terms of water resources.
Thank you, Kiden, for asking me this question. And thank you, the listeners to Maria Breakfast Show. The book titled Rising from the Depths, Water Security and Fragility in South Sudan, written by the World Bank, is an important report to the Republic of South Sudan and especially to the Minister of Water Resources and Irrigation. It explores opportunities and trade-offs for aligning South Sudan's water investments and policies with its commitment to peace and stability. The report elevates water security as an issue critical for national development and stability, not just for humanitarian services. The report also focuses on water security for people, production, and protection. These are the three P's, not the three P's of the 80s, where people used to talk of PPP. That's different.
Mm-hmm.
It also shows that water insecurity is indeed an existential threat to South Sudan. South Sudan is a global hotspot for flood risk. It ranks 7th in the world for share of its total country population exposed to river floods, as you've said. The dramatic floods, which we witnessed in 2019, in 2020, 2021, up to 2022, even now there are still episodes of flooding in the country, stark reminders of these extremely high exposure to flood hazards. The floods in 2021 affected between 800,000 and 1.2 million people. It also displaced more than 300,000 people and caused economic damage of at least $671,000 million. This report really shows to us that we need to put water into the perspective of the country if we want to come out of the stalemate.
Okay. And so, like you said, before the report, we had already seen some of these things, some of the effects of the flooding, and seeing that the water rising is, it's both an the availability of these water resources, both an opportunity and also a risk, a natural disaster risk for the population. And so what are some of these measures in place? One, how are we utilizing the water in terms of investment already? And two, how are we making sure that we are able to mitigate these risks so that the population is not being faced with a humanitarian crisis because of water-related disasters?
When this crisis started affecting the country in 2019, I remember we panicked as a country, and immediately we sent the strong signal to the government, to the leadership of the country, and the president issued a presidential decree stating state of emergency. That state of emergency prompted us in the Ministry of Water Resources in 2021 to request for funding, which will allow us to address issues of flooding. And the government immediately, for the first time in the history of the Ministry of Water Resources and Irrigation, approved $28.2 million for the ministry to be able to mitigate and control issues of flooding in the country. But as we know, when a patient shows up in a clinic, in a hospital, the doctor doesn't normally rush to give a diagnosis without first carrying out the details, requesting for analysis to be done so that he will not be biased in his judgment. We found ourselves having no significant studies which were carried out to understand the root causes of the flooding. Flooding, as we might see or might hear later on, does not start just overnight. There are several attributes which lead to the current episodes of flooding. Some of it is, as Nyamach might allude to, attributed to environmental degradation, but also the effect might be attributed to how the Nile Basin itself is managed by the riparian countries, starting from River Kagera, Lake Victoria, the Kyoga Rivers, Albert, and so on and so on. So there's a lot to be done. And as you're saying, we are not really panicking so much until we put the right attributes in place in order to be able to prescribe the right solution for the benefit of the generations to come.
Okay, but we did panic at the start.
At the start, yes.
Let me come to you now, Manat. Starting from the panic, why was it suddenly something that happened? Like he says, there were very many factors that led to these floods. What were those factors that were not foreseen in 2019?
All right. Thank you, Kiden. This is a very important discussion. The Undersecretary said a lot, and the report is actually important for the country. As he said that we panic, you know, you usually panic when you perceive a risk or a hazard, or you perceive threat from somewhere, and you know that you might not be in a position maybe to counter-react or maybe to control it. So I believe the country, our panic as the citizens came in when the flood started, and we're hearing the news of these areas being flooded and all this. So I think the panic from his side as a government, it's, you know, South Sudan is divided into 7 agroecological zones, and we have the areas that have been flooded. They're actually in within the floodplains, the western and the eastern floodplains. And, you know, with our infrastructure and our readiness, we were not prepared, you know, to actually deal with this with these climatic issues or the flooding that was happening, or the floods, because we had the floods, but in the other part of the country, we had extreme also droughts, you know. So the country was not in a position, you know. We were not prepared for this, and we did not have early warning mechanism in place to make us ready, you know, in case this happened, what should we do? Coming to the attributes of the floods in the country, there are many climate change, which is actually affecting most of the sub-Saharan Africa. We are at a higher risk. We are more exposed, and we have seen from the report that South Sudan is ranked the 7th, you know, which with a population that is more exposed. In 2021, we had 8 states, you know, were already experiencing floods, and many people were displaced, like about 300 he mentioned, and mentioned in the report. And until now, we still have the IDPs in you know, in camps, and the water has not yet receded in most places in the country, you know, because the ground is highly saturated, and the water is still there. So this flooding could be a result of course, it's the river flooding that we are experiencing. But it's, you know, when the temperatures rises, you know, the climate change leads to rise in temperatures. And when temperature rises, there mostly are a lot of evaporation, which when water evaporates, then you expect more intense or frequent precipitation with the rainfall. And that is what happened. We had evaporation from the Lake Victoria, but mostly in Indian Ocean, which actually affected our rainfall patterns, and we're experiencing heavy rains. And then also the rise of water level in Lake Victoria and the rest, which were coming down the stream within the Nile Basin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. And so when you spoke earlier of early warning, could it have been seen? Were we at a really zero level of noticing that this is going to happen, or were there some signs, but you know, we were not able to perceive them?
I believe there were somehow some signs, as he mentioned earlier, that, you know, when they received that something might happen, there was that panic, you know. So there were some signs. But, you know, our early warning system is not really that in place, because I don't even know the status of our meteorological department in South Sudan that is supposed to forecast, you know, our rainfall or to forecast weather, you know. Weather forecasting, I don't think that system is really in place. So that one make us actually to be somehow behind, you know. The early warning system, it's something that needs to be strengthened, because I don't think it is really that strong or adequate. Because if it was, the losses that we have been going through, the people who have been displaced would have found solutions, you know, prior to the floods that hit the country.
All right. Coming back to you, Emmanuel Ladu, early warning. The floods happened. Yes, there was panic, but then it happened. So were there measures put in place now to ensure that at least if it's going to get worse or if you're going to get any other shocks, you're able to at least foresee them and put measures in place to deter them?
Thank you once again. I think, as I said, the most important thing for us to do as a government is to understand the root causes of the flooding. And so that when we prescribe solution and interventions, we know exactly what we're addressing and what are going to be the impacts on the water regime in the country.
So can I just come in? This was from 2019, 2020, 2021 up to now. Is it clear what the root causes were? Has the government understood? And are there steps being taken?
Recently, if I may, I think I went to Rwanda, and in Rwanda we went to Rusumo Falls. The visit was organized by the Nile Basin Initiative, and when we were there, I think I witnessed something that I never expected in my entire life. From River Kagera and the Kagera Falls, the volume of water traveling downstream into Lake Victoria was so immense, and it's loaded by silt. That silt moves into Lake Victoria, and Lake Victoria eventually gets silted. When I asked and consulted my colleague from the Ministry of Environment of Uganda, he told me that actually Lake Victoria is getting silted very fast. Where it used to be 80 meters, it's now about 40 meters. And therefore, when these episodes of flooding started in 2019, we received the warning from the government of Uganda, and they told us they're going to release large volumes of water. And that's because they want to avoid issues of economic damage that might arise from the Republic of Kenya. So what they have to do is actually discharge as large volumes of water as possible, reaching to between 4 to 10,000 cubic meters per second. Liters per second. That is large volumes of water, and that water traveled into South Sudan. Unfortunately, as a country, we do not have any reservoir. This water traveled into South Sudan. We thought it was something transient. It might subside as it used to, but again, it kept on and on and on. So if we look at the whole attributes carefully, probably we may be seeing that Lake Victoria is actually shifting from where it is, if it is not well managed, to the Republic of South Sudan, where they really, this is just an attribute.
Okay.
It's a theory. It needs to be proven. And coupled with the fact that Sudan is also minimizing its discharges because of fear of Khartoum being submerged, the Blue Nile discharges large volumes of water.
I
think, yes. So we're receiving the backup from the Jebel Olia Dam coming as far as Yana. So we are faced with serious problems that we think we need to carry out studies. And in these studies...
And have studies been carried out already?
The studies underway. It's an expensive undertaking. If we're to do the study, it does not necessarily mean that the data has to be collected from the Republic of South Sudan. We have to connect it to the whole region, Ethiopia, Uganda, Kenya, Rwanda, Burundi, all the countries within the Nile Basin, so that we understand what's happening in the South Sudan and we come up with a final solution.
There have been some recommendations, and I'm going to throw this to Nyamach. What are those recommendations? And what are the priorities in this case? Which one can work and which one cannot work in the context of South Sudan?
Yeah, all right. You know, there were five priorities highlighted in the report. And I think if we follow them up somehow as a country, we can achieve something in regard to managing our water resources. The first one, the first priority was actually to strengthen policy and institutional framework, you know, for water sector. Last year we had a lot, and you know, we were among the people who are termed as social media criminals, because when we heard about dredging, we actually made a lot of noise on the social media, protesting and opposing the dredging issue. So a strengthening policy and institutional framework will actually help us in managing our water resources, because the water resources, the White Nile and its attributes, is within our country, but it's actually part of the longest river in the world, which is the River Nile, and it's shared by many countries from the upstream downway all the way to Egypt, which flows to the Mediterranean Sea. So having the policies and institutional framework in place, it will help us, because up to now I don't think we're really using this Nile River water for our benefit or for production, because I think the only way we are using it is getting the water tankers and bring water to our homes. Mm-hmm. We're not having irrigation. You know, we're not having dams for hydropower generation. So basically, we are within the heart or within the middle of the river Nile, but we're not making use of it. So for us to strengthen our policies and institutional framework will help us in that. The second priority was to strengthen service delivery modalities, you know, for rural people. Now they're talking of rural people. Even us here in urban areas, we still don't have proper water, you know. We're still getting the water from the water tanks. We don't have pipe water that is going to us. Mm-hmm. But now they are talking here about rural communities, you know.
Okay. Sorry, I'm just going to cut you short as we have the breakfast show headlines, but we'll be coming to you shortly.
Breakfast Show News Headlines.
Well, it's exactly 8:30 a.m. this morning, and on our headlines at this time, discussions are underway to facilitate the repatriation of an estimated 3,000 South Sudanese stranded in North Africa. The discussions are between Ministry of Foreign Affairs and the International Organization for Migration and the embassies and consulates of Sudan, Egypt and Libya, through which the South Sudanese made their desperate journeys in an attempt to get to Europe. The Ministry of Humanitarian Affairs will convene a humanitarian forum in Juba today. The meeting will be attended by aid organizations operating in the country to coordinate smooth humanitarian response and consider an action plan for their operations. And the World Bank has recommended building economic resilience and focusing on deficit management as its means of stabilizing the country's economy. World Bank Vice President for Eastern and Southern Africa, Victoria Kwakwa, further calls on the government to prioritize economic reform policy to enable South Sudan compete with other economies in the region. That is the news headlines at this time, and I'll be back shortly as we continue with the big conversations here on Miraya Breakfast Show.
101 FM Radio Miraya, powered by the people. Uniting the nation, your preferred station, the voice of peace.
No one let you. Welcome back, and if you've just joined in, this is Miraya Breakfast Show, where the nation's biggest conversations begin. And here we are talking about a report that has been released by the World Bank on South Sudan. It's called Rising from the Depths, Water Security and Fragility in South Sudan. And with me in the studio is Undersecretary in the Ministry of Water Resources and Irrigation, Emmanuel Ladu Pamenas, and Nyamach Hotmai, a South Sudanese environmentalist. And so we've had a brief on this report. We've looked at some of what it mentions, and it talks about the insecurity in terms of the effects and impacts of floods and water threats as well. And so South Sudan is ranked seventh as exposed to river floods, and according to the report, the situation is expected to worsen. Now, we've heard from the Undersecretary, who has said that there's been panic, and he explained that because of the rising of water levels all the way from Lake Victoria, it kept flowing downwards. As much as this is, it feels like South Sudan is up, but the land is sloping. And so the water just came here and shocked everyone, and there was lots of floods, and It really devastated the country. And so right now we're at a place where I think solutions are being found. And Nyamat was just sharing on some of the recommendations. And so, Nyamat, you can continue.
All right. Thank you. I was actually in the second recommendation, which is the second priority, of a strengthening service delivery models for rural populations to address supply of supply and sanitation of water. You know, even here in Juba or the other cities, we talk of Juba like the now the most urbanized area, we're still having issues with our water supply system and sanitation. You know, the water, we are the most of the population actually in Juba, very few, like a small percentage of the population in Juba get access to clean water actually, but the rest, actually the water that we're using, because it's direct from the river, which is having some contaminants, and direct to our homes, and we use it like that, you know. So there is still a need to strengthen this water supply delivery models. Yeah, the third priority is, you know, the advances disaster preparedness, you know, preparedness. And we actually talk of early warning system or early warning mechanism. So we have to advance our disaster preparedness and early warning to prevent actually the losses from floods or any impact of climate change on our population. We have seen that economically, you know, we have seen in the we have seen the economy is collapsing. Who knows? It could be even the floods that we are experiencing that could have some small contribution to the collapse of the economy, because we may be using most of our funds, you know, to address the issue of flooding instead of using it for investment that can strengthen our economy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the fourth one is harnessing productive, you know, we have opportunities. How can we harness the productive potential of these water resources that we have in the country?
Yes.
And this is something we are actually not using. I said earlier that we are using this river only for the water we take in our homes, you know. But we are not using it for
irrigation. There are more opportunities.
Yeah, we have more opportunities. We have the fish production. You know, we can actually harness this. The water that we are seeing is excess. We never know. It may go and we will experience flood droughts in the same areas. So why can't we strengthen the fish production? All of us are eating fish in the hotels and in the market, and most of them are coming also from Uganda, which is making them to have hard currency, because the currency that we're supposed to keep, the hard currency we're supposed to keep within here, we're actually sending it out to import things to the country, which are these products we could have produced them locally,
yeah,
and save some hard currency within us.
Mm-hmm.
We have agriculture, you know. Most of our lands are arable lands that, you know, in 2012, I happened to go to the Chinese embassy, and the ambassador and his wife showed me, you know, just behind the Beijing Hotel where they planted. These people never bought anything, even sherpa, the chili. Mm-hmm. They never bought it from
the
market.
They had it all in the
they
backyard.
They had it all in the backyard, whatever they needed, just here. But for us, we're exporting tomatoes and everything. We're bringing it from Uganda, while we can just plant them here, we have the water, we have the soil that are fertile that can help us. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we have to harness the opportunities of productive so that we increase our production in the country and enhance our economic situations. The last one is actually a comprehensive portfolio of water infrastructure. You know, this water, the infrastructure, you know, we have our rank. We are coming back to the issue of dredging and cleaning, you know, because when we are having the pulling ropes and all this with people who are for it and people who are against it, there were issues of road transport or river transport, which came in place. And we have a lot of produce, like the sorghum. We have Reng, the Northern Upper Nile, is actually producing a lot of legumes that can be used within the country. But due to lack of transportation system and the insecurity that is happening in the place, those produce are not reaching us in Juba, the onions and everything that could actually reach us here, and will reduce also the import, you know, what we import from outside.
Yeah.
But based due to lack of roads and all this, these products are not reaching us.
Okay.
So river transport is something that can actually be
explored,
okay. You know,
yeah,
to make all the goods reach in different parts of the country.
All right.
Yeah,
thank
so
you.
These are the five priorities that were within, and they're all important, by the
yeah.
way.
Thank you for sharing on those priorities and recommendations from the report and expounding on how they can be, you know, implemented in South Sudan. Now, as we come to a conclusion on this topic, coming back to you, Undersecretary, what are some of these recommendations, what are some of the immediate ones that can actually be looked into practically in South Sudan? And do you have any specific plans already?
Okay, thank you. I think what my colleague Nyamach in the studio has alluded already, these are the specific plans we have in the Ministry of Water Resources and Irrigation that the World Bank has picked and has included in the report. We understood that the policy environment is weak, it needs to be strengthened, and some of our policies and regulations are outdated. Like we have the water policy, which was developed in 2007, when that time we were a government of Southern Sudan. And the statements there say Southern Sudan. Now being an independent country, South Sudan, we need to revise that water policy and make it up to date. The same applies to issues of water supply and sanitation. We actually mapped out our towns and major cities.
When was this?
2012. We have studies.
So I'm asking about things that are being done right now.
That are being done right now. The early warning system, we are putting it in place. We have automated telemetry stations. Right now, we're receiving information transmitted to our database in the Ministry of Water Resources so that we know the water levels, the discharges, the volumes, the temperature, and everything at the same time. The others are still on the way because we really can't do much unless we have a study.
So which ones are in the pipeline?
The ones in the pipeline are, we want to have a water resources master plan. With this water resources master plan, then we'll have a water resources investment plan. When we have the water resources investment plan, then we know what needs to be done, where, including issues to deal with hydro energy generation, water conservation, water for environment, for wildlife, for livestock, and water for agriculture, irrigation, and so on. We had the irrigation development master plan, but that one looked at how irrigation can be improved and the areas that are good for irrigation.
Okay.
But, yeah.
And just before I conclude from you right now, what is the timeline for this? Because as we speak, many people are still being affected by these floods.
We have a 5-year period for this project.
Five-year plan.
And it is a multi-million funding from the World Bank to the Ministry of Water Resources and Irrigation. We're honored by the donation from the World Bank by this grant which has come to the Ministry of Water Resources and Irrigation.
All right. Beautiful. This next question, I'm sure Nyamach will be waiting for the answer about this issue of dredging. Recently, the president said that there needs to be an assessment that can be taken before clearing some of the rivers or the tributaries of the Nile. What is the ministry? How is the ministry responding to this?
I think I had already alluded to this before, that when a patient presents in a clinic, the doctor has to do the grand check before he prescribes the solution.
Mm-hmm.
And I do agree with the president that we need to do an environmental and social impact assessment study. Last year, I think when we were doing the consultation, one of the statements I made, it was a warning that if we rush to do the dredging from Bentiu to Lekno, probably we should be having a plan B to evacuate the people of Bentiu from there, because the water actually is not flowing northwards. The water is flowing westwards. And this based on the topography. And I asked all the people who are there in the room, if they had smartphones, let them drop a pin at Lekno, they drop another pin in at Bentiu, and then they see the difference in topography. So when you remove the aquatic weed and a large surge of water that is blocked can't flow northwards, is going to flow westwards, and probably Bentiu and Ropkana towns might be in problem. So I think I wouldn't rush really to do any clearing or cleaning or dredging at this point without doing the necessary studies, so that we know the scope of the area to be clean and cleared and what are the impacts of this to the environment and society.
All right, thank you. Yamach, what would be your final remarks?
Yeah, my final remark concerning the report, I will say the priorities that have been put, and we heard from the Undersecretary that these were actually their plans that they had in the ministry. I will tell them that we thank them for coming up with these wonderful priorities, and I will urge them, the government, to put more resources into these water-related issues, because water problems are actually a national issue, national security problems. And, you know, we have had a lot of issues, fights from between communities, and we could trace this one back to the impact of floodings, because we are seeing cattle raiders and the farmers are not really coexisting,
mm-hmm.
and this happened because of water issues. So the government should actually look into water issues as serious issues. They are national issues, national security issues, and let them come up really with this institutional framework and policies. They have to be put in place. You know, it's a pity that we are now at the 12th year as a country, and we still, even the environmental bill is not yet even passed into a law, you know. So we are working, actually, we heard that the 2012 water policy needs to be amended. It was 2007. It needs to be amended, you know, to suit our situation. So I will urge the government to come up with necessary early warning mechanism in place, and not to rush to dredging, as the president said, that we have to do an assessment before we do the dredging or the cleaning of the river.
All right. Yeah. Undersecretary, your assurance to the people, as we have people listening from even the flood-affected areas, what assurance can you give them?
I think first and foremost, I would like to apologize to the people of the Republic of South Sudan that as a ministry we failed them in terms of efficient and effective water resources management. But as a government, we all need to understand together with the people of South Sudan that since 2012, we have been implementing an austerity budget, which does not enable us to do investment so that we put the necessary protective measures in place. We are working very hard to understand the root causes of the current situation so that when it repeats itself in the future, we shall not be taken by surprise.
All right. Thank you very much for joining me, and we'll definitely continue having these conversations. But thank you, and have a good day.
Thank you,
thank you
for having us.
Yeah, thanks.